Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're currently listening to the free version of Let Me Talk.
If you want longer, ad-free episodes, even earlier, head to lmtpod.com to find out how to subscribe.
Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk! Let me talk!
1, 2, 3, 4. When Arsenal put the third goal in against Spurs on Sunday, if you told me that City would end the day having closed the goal difference gap, I would have assumed a fairly comfortable afternoon in the sunshine in Nottingham. Turns out instead we got a combination of a mini Spurs comeback and a performance from City that for a good 65 minutes was as confusing as it was nervy. So now we've all slept on it, let's discuss it. This is Let Me Talk, I'm David Mooney. With me is the Athletic City correspondent Sam Lee. Hello.
Hello, all right.
Yeah, Nottingham sunshine seemed pretty good, pitch seemed pretty dry. That was a criticism afterwards.
It was a criticism before. It's funny though, because when we got there, like 3 hours before kickoff, because I miscalculated how long it would take to get there, and slightly because I wanted to watch the Arsenal game anyway, we got there and it was just pissing down. It was cold, and then when it started, I was like, people are going to be watching this game on TV, see the sun, and be like, oh yeah, great, nice, sunny in Nottingham. It was awful. Like I was even thinking like this is no weather for like a title running game. Like, I almost thought it was going to be under the light. It was going to be that dark.
You mean people exactly what I've just done?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But then, yeah, but it was nice and sunny. But like, what a way to start the podcast. But even when the weather's shit in Manchester, at 6 or 7 p.m, it's always really sunny and nice. So it was the same kind of thing. So when we left and City had won and like walking out to get the cars, like, this is a lovely little evening.
This is all right.
But yeah, it didn't. Yeah. So in terms of the pitch, it's hilarious because, yeah, we kind of found out at halftime that Walker had complained to the ref about the pitch being dry, saying it's dangerous. It can be dangerous, can lead to injuries. Which I mentioned to Nadim, and he was like, it's a bit of a reach. He was like, it's not a full reach, but it's a bit of a reach. But obviously they were a bit annoyed about it. But then Guardiola mentioned it straight away after the game on Sky, Haaland as well. And then Guardiola in the press conference was hilarious because he was just... It was the kind of classic, like, kind of sarcasm, being a dick about it. Because obviously he said, you know, we were lucky because of the pitch, because if it was a bit better, they would have scored their chances. But because the pitch was so kind of bumpy, they missed. So, yeah, we were lucky. We were great that the pitch worked in our favour, which is only a kind of, like, if you know, you know. It will probably especially piss off all the people behind the scenes at Forest who knew that City weren't happy about it and had been complaining about it. And then he was asked to follow up later on, what's wrong with the pitch? He was like, no, I didn't see anything was wrong. Like, we were lucky. It was great. which is fantastic, really. But yeah, it's just one of those where, like, teams have been having difficult turnarounds, you know, 48 hours, 62 hours, whatever, between games for years. Teams have won the title. You know, City have won the title in these circumstances. But, you know, like after the Brighton game the other night when Guardiola was saying, you know, after we got back from Palace, which was an early kickoff in London, get back 5 or 6 p.m, have a good dinner, have a good sleep, get up, recovery, fly to Madrid, all of that. He said, but after Brighton, you know, you get back early hours in the morning, the players don't have much sleep, then they've got to get up to recover, blah, 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 get down to Nottingham, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff. And then the pitch as well. I didn't mean to come back to this point, but I always say battle mode. But that's what comes into it, isn't it? Like those things where it's like they're knackered, they're not playing well, the pitch isn't great.
Get on with it, yeah.
They just do it. And like, you know, Guardiola talking about the pitch, it's the classic example, isn't it? He says he says, like, oh, we don't complain. And to be fair, he said after the Chelsea game about all the complaints about tiredness, he was like, look, if we'd have lost, I wouldn't have said anything. And that is true, but he knows how to make his point regardless. And he always says, like, about the referees, don't criticise them. And he doesn't. But, like, he's a nightmare during the game, isn't he? So yeah. he does work it quite cleverly. He's never going to really get an FA charge, is he? Although, to be fair, Arteta didn't get one, and he went fully mad earlier in the season, didn't he? From that game at Newcastle, which might not mean anything come the end of the season. But, yeah, in terms of the game, you're saying being confusing and stuff, it was, like, the worst, most scrappy, anxious, comfortable victory I've ever seen.
Mate, it was awful to watch from afar. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be in the away end. I imagine if you being in the away end would have been maybe more comfortable, actually, because you're with other people and you just, and like, it sounded good on telly, so it sounded like they were just kind of singing the way through it. I don't know.
Yeah, especially first half, and then it did drop off a bit second half, which I personally can understand. I mean, you know, the best football crowds in the world, you know, they're led by blokes who don't even watch the game. So it doesn't matter to them if his team aren't playing well, because he's got his back to the pitch, he's got a drum and a megaphone, and it doesn't matter. But, you know, English fans were a bit more susceptible to the actual tension of what's happening. And me personally, like, if I'd have been watching that, I'd have been very nervous start of the second half. It was a bit like Champions League final against Inter. Everyone was just too nervous to sing, which, you know, people who follow Inter or, I don't know, like Italian football or whatever, maybe even like Rangers, Celtic, whatever. But like, I think that was the case, and I think that was it yesterday. Like, for the 15 minutes or so before half-time and the 15 minutes or so after, basically the middle third of the game, when City just couldn't keep hold of the ball at all, yeah, it was, you're right, it was, sorry, I've just been distracted by... And this is nothing, but there's just a picture of Edison on the pitch holding his shoulder, because obviously, to skip ahead to that, Guardiola says it doesn't look good, and then we can make our point now about Ortega coming in, and fair play, because everybody knows that Ortega's very solid. It looks like Edison was wearing Scott Carson's gloves yesterday, because he's got SC written on the bit where the Velcro goes, which, like I say, is nothing, but the fact that we all know that Scott Carson is this kind of mad character, it just becomes automatically more funny.
Yeah. Hey, Reddy, wear these. All right.
Yeah. He's put fucking jam in the fingers or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Like, it was horrible to watch, like you said. And like, honestly, I was thinking for a while at the start of the second half, I was like, obviously, this isn't the case, and that's why I didn't even bother tweeting it, because it's stupid, because the best thing is to do what City actually did. But I was like, it's almost best if Forest just score now and get it out of the way, and then City can try and settle down again. Forest drop back, and City can go and try and find a winner, because it just seemed inevitable that goal was going to happen.
Yeah, it felt... I know what you mean. It felt like... in a strange way, like, the performance was a lot worse, but it felt like the Sheffield United game at the start of the season, where you're going to get that equaliser.
Best performance
of
the season.
Yeah, get the equaliser out of the way, and then go down there and work on finding the winner, because you want as much time to be able to do that. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
In terms of horrible games to watch, where does it rank on the Burnley away in 2019 scale? Like, just
five years. I saw you tweet that.
Yeah, 5 years to the day.
No, that one was terrible until the end, wasn't it? Because like I said, like, at the start it was the most ugly, blah, blah, blah. But it was comfortable in the end, wasn't it? Like, as soon as Haaland scored the second, personally, for me, because I've got stuff to write now for the final whistle, as I keep mentioning. So as soon as he scored that, I was like, well, I can start writing now. And balls were going in the box. And I don't know why I was so kind of blasé about it, but I was just like, because, you know, that the ball into the box could have led to something. You know, the shot that Ortega kind of flicked away could have led to something, but I was just like, it's not happening now, that's it, like, this game is done now. And like, by the end, like, if City had have scored that second goal in like the last 5 minutes or injury time to wrap it up, I feel like at the final whistle the celebrations would have been like tops off in the away end, like proper relief. But because it came relatively early, like, by the end, like, Forest were done then. City managed it better, even though, you know, Forest did continue to kind of attack and put balls in the box. City dealt with it very well, and it just felt like that was it. But it was, in the end, it did feel comfortable. But obviously, for the middle half hour, it just wasn't at all.
Yeah.
Even to the point where it's like, oh, they got the ball now. And then, like, Guardiola tried to dribble it right into the final third. Because obviously there was that thing Guardiola said after the Luton game about, you know, I told him, stop trying to do exceptional creative things when he's got the ball and just keep it simple, which he generally seems to have done. And then he tried that. But then Ake did it as well. Like, why are you trying that? I know he did it against Anfield, against Liverpool last season at home. But, like, bit of an exception. That, like, it was very unusual. Like, the it wasn't just the execution that was poor sometimes, it was like the decision making was very poor. But then suddenly, and we're skipping all over the timeline here, but suddenly, like, I tweeted a couple of times, all of a sudden it just opened up, and it was like, it's not just, I don't know, it's not just that City can play out and they've got a bit more of the ball, but it's like they've got space to break into. Like, they can find De Bruyne between the lines in loads of space, and then he can play the ball in behind as well. And it just seemed like, okay, this game has changed a bit now. And obviously, it wasn't even a ball in behind to Haaland, was it? It was just a kind of, it was a ball to Haaland.
Just a ball into Haaland, yeah. He had a lot of work
to do. Semi in front of the defence. And then he's done really well with it. But yeah, the game did start to change basically around the time that Haaland came on.
Well, it's funny because it was clearly one of those that was a really uncomfortable watch, and I'm going to go into more depth on the uncomfortable watchness of these sorts of games on Blue Moon this week. But for that, I watched back the Burnley game.
The Burnley game, obviously, that was so horrible because it went right until the end.
Yeah, well,
I ended up talking about Forest being done with about 10-15 minutes to go. But the Burnley game was like the most awful, basically.
Yeah. But I watched back kind of like the kind of extended highlights of that game, and the key difference between the two games, it's really odd because this was a horrible watch that City were winning, whereas the Burnley one was like Aguero scored on like it was like an hour, so it was like still fairly early in the game. But there was a good five or six goal-mouth scrambles in the Burnley box before that, and it was very much a case of like willing City to get the breakthrough, like that Leicester home game, City haven't got what they need, and we're all desperate for them to get it. Whereas as Forest this week was very much City have what they need, but they're doing their absolute best to chuck it away. So like it's just a really different sort of anxiety. It's really odd. If I was an Arsenal or Liverpool fan watching City play like that at Forest, I'd have been absolutely fucking furious. And you know what?
Yeah, I tweeted that. It would have been awful. Like, I thought, you know, it might be worth discussing the Arsenal game a little bit. And, you know, I thought Spurs were the better team. Even a 2-0 to Arsenal, I was like, if Spurs can get one back, I still think they can do something.
And then, I was also fucking furious that what had happened in the Arsenal game, because I was like, well, Spurs have battered them here. And then...
Yeah, exactly. But then when City go and play like that and get the look like that, you'd think, okay, fine. But like Arsenal is one thing, but if that had been Liverpool, if Liverpool was still in the title race and they were having teams miss chances like that, that would have been full fury. That would have been full, like, 18-19 goalkeepers chucking it in their own net scenario. Yeah. Like, to have strikers missing like, open goals like that. The Murillo one where he was so close. It wasn't like, you can't, like, blame him, but it's just bad luck and, like, great luck for City. Yeah, like...
Chris Wood?
If that had been Chris City's Wood not rivals, and they'd have got away with that, you'd be absolutely spewing.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of dancing around the performance here, Sam. So let's get Guardiola's thoughts. He was asked after the game around the performance, given that they won the game. It was like, does he really bother that the performance wasn't great if they've gone on to win the game? This is what he said.
If you are a quality performance, that means we are who we are. We are closer to win the games. So today was the coin. The game was in danger. But of course, during 38 games and the amount of games that we have, I knew the game would be like that, but they respond well, and in that moment, of course, the win is the most important thing. But not now, in September, October, November, December, and every game we play, the most important thing is the result for us, because we live better, and because all of you judge results, not performance. But today, the performance was not really good. In terms, because they are good, they play for, you know, to be in the Premier League, and they have aggressive, incredible pace with Aina. He has the first action with Aina, with Hudson-Odoi, with Elanga. So the quality for Gibbs White. So they're at top. Murillo's a good in the build-up. So it's a physicality. Always I impress for that. But the last season, you say that. Now you're going to make a lot of compliments. If you want to read the newspapers after the game last season, we play here, and how difficult it was, you know, and we played 1,000 times much better, but we equalized at the end. We missed, I don't know, 5-6 clear chances. And this season we're more closing than draw than the last season. But today the compliments, we show how character, personality from Manchester City and his players. I know it's going to happen that last season was much better. Much, much better.
There we go, Sam. He's picked up your Joe Public voice.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. It's honestly it's really liberating to be in such positions like ours where we've got such stress on our shoulders at this time of year. It's really nice to be able to take the piss out of people just trying to make an honest living or have an opinion. In fact, I wasn't even having to go at Guardiola then. I was doing to him what he's just done to he said newspapers, didn't he? But honestly, I said in The Athletic at the time, if they play like this for the rest of the season, they'll win the league. So if only he read the articles and not just the tweets, eh? it is quite funny, isn't it, that perception. But that was a very specific perception relating to these two Forest games, isn't it? And just, you know, if you win, you're a genius. If you lose or you drop points, you're not. But I am glad I didn't talk about character and stuff for this. But you know, I don't know if you cover. I don't know. It's not even if you cover football for a long time, because a lot of people do. But you just got to know sometimes there's more to it than that. Like with Arsenal, like, did Arsenal show character yesterday, or did they just take the chances that they had and got a bit lucky? I thought Arsenal and the City were basically the same in that sense. Mm. Very different performances and different circumstances. But, you know, broadly speaking, I couldn't hear the commentary at all. I don't know what was said about the Arsenal game, but it was like, I was thinking, they haven't shown title-winning mentality or character or whatever. They've just had the margins go in their favour, and that's fair enough. It wasn't me sitting there going, oh, they've been lucky. It just is what it is. And I think that was certainly the same for City yesterday. And again, like Guardiola said in there, like, it doesn't matter, does it? Like I said after the Chelsea game, normally speaking, you'd say, oh, I'm not sure about that performance. Like, you can't just say, oh, fair play, they won, and brush it under the rug. Because normally, if they play badly like that, you think, oh, is that going to happen again? But in the circumstances of that Chelsea game, you just say, well, it doesn't matter, because they're all knackered and the emotion of it, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I suppose it's kind of interesting that they played badly again for spells. But I think what my broader point here actually is like with Arsenal now at this stage of the season, if they were somewhat lucky yesterday and City were somewhat lucky yesterday, doesn't matter now. Like Guardiola said, it really is just about the results, isn't it? And like, especially again for City's point of view, we said the other night after the Brighton game, I thought this would be the toughest game of the running. And now look, if they've got to go to Spurs and win, I'll probably revise my opinion on that quite quickly. But I have been saying for ages, I want to see City go to Spurs when it really matters and see what happens. So I'm still going to stand behind that. I did think yesterday would be the toughest one. They've got past it. And now, as I keep saying, they've got that week for Wolves and a week for Fulham, right? That's part of the reason I thought the Forest game would be tough. Well, yeah. Again, we've talked about it a lot, but just think about it now. With all the kind of the exhaustion yesterday of the various players, Foden not being available.
Foden and Diaz were ill, weren't they? Yeah. So yeah. Like, they'll get a week now to recover.
But obviously the Brighton game would have been Wednesday and the Forest game would have been Saturday. But again, I've said it a lot, but just imagine Guardiola would have to pick the lineups for those two games where they looked pretty tired anyway. And I wouldn't say like options were limited, but like obviously Stones hasn't been able to feature. Diaz is out. Foden's out now. De Bruyne was knackered. Bernardo was knackered again. How would they have combated that going to Bayern Munich? What would have happened? Like who would have played in midfield yesterday? Would it have been a Kovacic and Nunes afternoon? Would it have been? I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what would have happened. Like, would Rico Lewis, if he would have played? To be fair, it's not like Walker played brilliantly, was it? But would it have been one of those afternoons? Would they, with City not playing brilliantly anyway, with a team with less quality in it, without De Bruyne to get the two assists and without, you know, Haaland to finish? What would have happened yesterday? Or if they had have won, what would have happened against Bayern Munich in the semi final? And then obviously that's got a knock on for Wolves. Because they've got to think who can play against Wolves and who can't, because we've got the second leg. And then that affects Fulham. So, again, a million times over, City would much rather be in the Champions League. But sitting here now, knowing what we know, it's an amazing, amazing silver lining. Because with Arsenal being out as well, you'd almost fear it's one of those situations where, you know, where they just go for everything and in the end something just drops. And it nearly happened against Madrid, didn't it, a couple of years ago after that comeback. Not just because of the comeback, but because of the amount of injuries that happened. Like Stones got injured, Walker got injured, didn't he? Like he kept coming back for those games and getting injured. And it took that huge effort from Laporte and the others to get over the line in the final game. So, look, they'd much rather try and win the treble again. But it should really help them win the Premier League. The fact that, you know, the Champions League now is, it's forgotten. It's in the past.
Yeah.
And like we said at the time, if City were to win the double, that's a fucking amazing season. But they've got to go and actually do it.
Yeah, you've also got to about reframing kind of how you see things, where, like you say, obviously they would much rather have the problem of having Bayern Munich this week, but at the same time, it's like you have to frame it as a good thing now that you don't have that and you have the rest, because you've got to use that to your advantage. You can't just, like, it would be a good thing either way. You have Bayern Munich, you've got rhythm and momentum and all that sort of stuff, and, you know, the chance to win the Champions League again, still in all three competitions. You don't have it, okay, that's good. You've got the rest and the time to recuperate and all the rehab stuff you can do in the week. So it's just about framing, I think, really. And I think, I actually think from what we've seen of Guardiola over the last 6, 7, 8 years, he's pretty good at that. So, you know, fair's fair. Coming up after a short ad break, there'll be more analysis of the win over Nottingham Forest. We'll be talking about Erling Haaland's presence and how he changed the game for City.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Let Me Talk is sponsored by you, the listeners.
The best way to support the podcast is by subscribing via Memberful.
You can pay as little as £2 per month, which gives you early access to all our podcasts ad-free, and they're packed with even more content.
That gives you even more minutes of us to fill up your week.
Subscribing is really easy, and the longer episodes will integrate seamlessly with your podcast app of choice, be it Spotify or Apple. Head over to lmtpod.com for more information on signing up and links to all of our socials.
Craig's been in touch to say, don't know why, but from around minute 65, the game turns. Suddenly City are picking up the ball in between Forest's midfield and defence. So, I mean, we've kind of covered why was it so bad for so long. Haaland scored on 71 minutes, and it felt like a formality from there on in. Was it the subs that did it? Was it basically a little shuffle in shape?
Having tried to watch this back to find an answer, because obviously I mentioned already on this podcast and in the game yesterday, there's more space now. And it feels too obvious to just be, oh, they put Haaland on. But I mean, I know you messaged me this during the game. Naden messaged me this during the game. I was thinking it during the game. And this isn't to, first of all, to go back on what I was saying 2 or 3 weeks ago. Because also, the other point is, it's not to forget what Alvarez did in December and January when Haaland was injured. And Alvarez played really well as a striker, even against Luton the other week when he played really well, didn't score. But he played really well in that striker role. And that's the kind of thing that I was hoping to see if and when Haaland was ever going to be out of the team. You know, when Haaland's not contributing, let's see what Alvarez can do. And if he can link up better, then maybe that's better for certain games. And I stand by that. And also I stand by it because we've seen Alvarez do it. So fair enough. But yesterday I was like, this feels bad of me because I've been really harsh on Haaland and doing nothing. But I do feel like his presence would be needed here. Like, even just, and again, like, it felt like a silly thing to say because my whole issue was his presence wasn't doing a lot before. And I know he was occupying centre-backs and stuff, but like when the ball was going towards him and he wasn't holding it up, I was kind of like, well, what use would that actually be? If he comes on and plays great, then you don't need to make the point. But if he comes on and plays badly, what's the difference? But then to go back to the question, what changed? I do think it was just the simple case of it being Haaland. And I've had a little look. And as the question there says, and as we were talking about before, there was space, you know, space in between the lines and then space to play in behind. Like, there was a chance not long after Haaland came on where Alvarez got played in behind and he had a shot with his left foot and it went over the bar. But that was basically just a turnover. Forrest threw it down the line. City won it. It went to Rodri. Haaland knocked it down, went to... And then De Bruyne played it for Alvarez. But Alvarez was playing on that inside left position, tucked in, which I think, you know, Grealish had been doing for a lot of the game anyway. So I don't think it was so much about the shape, because I think they'd more or less been trying to do that with fullbacks a lot. And there was a lot of shape changes anyway. Guardiola mentioned about, when he was asked about Doku and coming off and needing more passes, he said, like, but we changed after 15 minutes when Bernardo went inside and to give more passes, and that helped them settle down. So they were doing all those kind of things anyway. But one of the things I noticed when De Bruyne first got the ball through the lines, a couple of minutes after Haaland came on, Haaland's occupying two centre-backs. There's two centre-backs stood 5 yards apart with Haaland in the middle of them. And their third centre-back is drawn out to Alvarez.
Forrest's two midfielders. At this stage, yeah.
Yeah, he's on the left, but like, yeah, central, pushed like, left of centre. So he's gone out to Alvarez. De Bruyne is just floated behind the two central midfielders who are looking at Rodri. And obviously Kovacic is next to him as well. So they're attracted by City's holding midfielders. De Bruyne just goes in behind them and Rodri plays the pass through. But I think at that stage, what I remember thinking of at the game as it developed live, De Bruyne, I don't think the ball to Haaland was on, but I think De Bruyne, obviously we talk in broad strokes about powers and players who are more direct and all this kind of stuff, but De Bruyne is clever enough to know, we've not had the ball for half an hour here. We need to slow this down. But he got the ball there, I think, in large part because two centre-backs are watching Haaland and the other one has gone up with Alvarez. So that leaves De Bruyne free. So now I went back to when Alvarez was on, and about 5 minutes before Haaland came on, it was the same setup. Alvarez was where Haaland was. He had one centre-back on him, and that centre-back said to the one to his left, and that one on the left, when Haaland came on, was helping him look after Haaland as the duo. He said to the centre-back to his left, you push up into that space there. So he went up into that space even before De Bruyne got into it, just to cut it out. That centre-back stepped up into that space to stop City finding anybody between the lines because there was no space to do it. But, like I say, when Haaland came on, that centre-back who would have stepped up and did step up previously, he was on your man Erling.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference right there. That's the difference. He is pinning those two back. The other centre-back's gone with Alvarez. And look, if they'd switched and the right centre-back and the central centre-back had stayed with Haaland and the left one had pushed onto De Bruyne, then Alvarez would have been free in the space. It's obviously not the same, but you'd still have that free man. And that element comes from Haaland pinning the two centre-backs. So yeah. I think it's not simple, obviously, because there's obviously dynamics at play. But obviously from a media narrative point of view, you can say, oh, Haaland came on and he changed the game. What? Like, you can imagine it on like a radio report or something. Haaland came on, changed the game because he scored. Did he change the game though? But in this case, I think he actually did.
Well, he changed the game both with City's setup because of the of how they were able to use the space that was afforded to them, and he also got the second and crucial goal to make it easy. So it's a really easy headline for a kind of a really impactful performance. While we're on Haaland, I want to talk about this from Contemplative Jesus on Twitter, who said, "What are the I don't know what his real name is, and so I have to go with the pseudonym. What are the chances that a good deal of Haaland's drop in form have been that he's been less than fit for most of the season?"
Yeah, I think we have. I think he's acknowledged it. I think Pep said, hasn't he? Like he's not been fully fit. This was probably the thing is that Luton game was only 2 weeks ago, which is a bit mad. So I'm struggling to remember if things were a month ago, 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago. But there was obviously a time when Guardiola was saying that Haaland wasn't fully fit, and then I think, but we have also discussed it in the sense that, like, if you're not fully fit, does that affect your ability to score one-on-one once you're already in the position? Like, I don't know. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But, I mean, it has to be a factor. It's like De Bruyne, isn't it? You know, De Bruyne has been, I was going to say below par, but I don't know why people use that below par, because below par famously is good in golf. That's what you want to be. but he has been, you know what I mean by below, but he has been below par, hasn't he? And particularly in the big games. But, you know, from speaking to people, he's had little knocks and stuff, and that's why it's like, I didn't think he played well against Chelsea last week, but he kept running and he put all that effort in. He's given it everything. But yeah, it obviously has to be a bit of a factor for him, which just makes me, it is what it is. That, you know, like I did when I did my Joe Public voice the other week. Yeah, he was occupying two centre-backs, and that is like a fine and valid point to make. But when he did get the ball, he wasn't occupying anyone. He was just giving it away. You've got to have both. And it wasn't even like yesterday there was both, was there? He didn't have to hold up the ball much.
No, but
that presence did change the game. And crucially, he actually scored. If he hadn't scored, don't know where the game would have gone. It did start to turn in City's favour, and there were more spaces. But we still don't know. You know, Forrest might have equalised after that. We don't know.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, when he did score, like that's one of the goals that I've celebrated most this season, and I'll be like, just for the situation.
Oh, big time!
And
I can imagine that.
Yeah, and the change in the kind of, the element of relief with it, and I mean, let's talk about that as well, because it's not an easy finish that he's got. Like De Bruyne, people have talked like De Bruyne have put it on a plate for him, but he had a lot of work to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it's just muscle memory, isn't it? Like, oh, De Bruyne slips the ball in behind and he finishes, which is normally the case. You know, we saw it against Luton. I mean, he scored 5 goals, but he was probably in that scenario about 8 times. And it's normally, you know, he can just take the one touch, or, you know, it's when he can do the half a boat turn in circle to get onto his left foot. But like I said earlier, like, this wasn't a ball in behind. It was kind of in front of the defence. But, yeah, he's taking it on his left. And he's actually, no, it's not like a classic beating of the man. You know what I mean? It's not like an amazing dribble. But he has had to do, as I put it on Twitter, he's had to do more than he normally does. The ball's not on the plate for him. He's had to manoeuvre that chance for himself, put it onto his right foot. And again, I just thought it was like just a perfect little finish, really. Which again, it might sound like, you know, it's like when somebody takes a penalty that just kind of dribbles to the left, but the goalkeeper's gone to the right. And you think, oh, if the goalkeeper would have gone, are we just praising it because it went in? Are we just going on outcomes? But I genuinely think like Haaland did everything he needed to do there. And even like the nature of the finish and kind of the weight of it and the angle of it was
right footed as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was right footed. And it's just like, it just feels like that's the Haaland they need. And that's the difference. Like, you know, when I said the other night, when I was thinking like the most negative kind of way of predicting that Brighton game as they were lining up. Like, oh yeah, I could see Alvarez missing. Maybe De Bruyne has a bad game. Maybe Foden misses. And, you know, maybe it goes wrong in that way. Like, it felt a bit more like that yesterday. Like, who's going to make the difference? Like, there's not many chances being created anyway. And if they do come, who's going to put it away? Like, it wasn't like a game, because City didn't have that much possession and couldn't really get up the pitch, it wasn't the game when it was like, oh, well, maybe Rodri's going to crash one in from outside the box. He didn't really get in that position ever. And obviously the first goal was a set piece. But it just, yeah, again, so I'm looking at the goal now, And it's brilliant, really, because that the left centre back does step up to try to go towards De Bruyne to stop kind of the inevitable happening. But he kind of gets caught in no man's land and he has to go back towards Haaland. And then he's out of the way of Haaland as well then.
Yeah.
So City have caused that problem. Maybe the first one that we discussed a couple of minutes ago, they're like, well, we can't have De Bruyne getting free. So the centre-back's going to have to push up. But then he can't get there quickly enough. De Bruyne gets the ball in enough space. Haaland's got enough space because he's free of the second man. And the rest follows. But yeah.
Through he goes.
It didn't seem like one of those days where I could see Alvarez scoring or I could see Bernardo scoring, certainly. You know, it just didn't seem like it was coming. So for it to happen the way it happened and for it to be Haaland, it just shows the value of him, doesn't it? It's such an easy thing to say, but it really does.
Yeah.
The second centre-back who was on Haaland before, he stepped up to try and stop De Bruyne and he ends up in no man's land. De Bruyne gets the ball anyway, Haaland gets the ball anyway and it's game over. So yeah. There we go. It's a personnel thing. It's the Haaland aura thing and City have caused them all kinds of problems.
Yeah. I'm interested as well because I don't really know what Forest's setup was, but I heard on Sky that they'd gone back to a back three for the first time under Nuno, where he's normally been playing a back four. And like I heard that phrase, back three, and like knew that wing backs were coming, and like effectively like, it's a back five that City'd be playing against. And no started getting cold sweats because like you think back to that Lyon game when Guardiola was like, well, they play 3-5-2 and he matched them up and it just didn't go out. And I know it's a very, very different City these days. But it made me realise that I don't think over the past kind of 18 months, 2 years or so that I've really thought that City have had too many problems with teams playing a back five because I imagine City playing against teams that have dropped deep anyway and are packing out the defence and are just like everybody's playing a low block sort of thing. But then you get to Forest again, you know, like Nuno's record against City's actually, especially when he's at home, is actually quite good. You've got this back three, back five, wing backs thing and City not playing a bit disjointed. I don't know if it's just kind of me putting two and two and two together and getting 130 or whatever. But it just felt like that same old kind of problem against one specific setup that City struggled to deal with and like struggled to manipulate the space for. And I don't know if there's anything to read into that or not.
I don't think so. I think maybe Guardiola was asked after the Real Madrid game, because I'm trying to think of the last game when, you know, there would have been a need for a question to Guardiola about his team struggling. So I'm guessing it was Real Madrid. And obviously they defended really deep. It was almost like, you know, were you surprised? I can't remember if it was an English reporter or a Spanish one. Or whoever else. But it was like, you know, did they play deep and was that a problem? And Guardiola was like, well, we played teams who defend deep against us all the time. Like, it's so common for City to face that. And it's also increasingly common enough for them to play against man-to-man that, yeah, there may be on the day certain quirks of a low block or a high press that cause them problems. And there may be... Well, not there maybe. I actually think it's more likely to be other scenarios because I don't think you can win 95% of your games against either approach or any approach in between. And then if one goes wrong, you go, it's that. It's like the bullshit about when after the Chelsea games in the league and everyone's like, is there a blueprint for beating City? No, there isn't, obviously. Obviously there isn't. It's like 8 years in. And obviously Chelsea did make it hard against City in both of those games. And maybe that, you know, their specific approach with their players and their manager, that does cause problems. There is obviously an element there maybe where, you know, Nuno knows what to do to cause City some issues.
Especially with generating space and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's basically just put everybody back there. But I think you'd have to look at other factors. And obviously yesterday, you know, we've got however long into this podcast and we've talked about a lot of the other issues, you know, City being knackered or poor or off colour, whatever. I don't think there's a particular problem with that approach. Maybe it's a Nuno thing. Like it might be a Pochettino thing. I could see that. When it's like an approach itself, I'm not so sure. But also, like, it's certainly better than, oh, City have lost their two previous trips to the Midlands this season. Yeah, the problem was Rodri didn't fucking go with them.
Yeah, it's not the Midlands.
That's the problem with the Midlands. It's not the area of land roughly an hour south of where they all live. Like, not going to be an issue, is it?
That could be a problem, though. What about an area of land about an hour west to where they all live, when you think about going over to Anfield?
Yeah. But that is a problem, for a very known reason. But again, the very known reason with this one is Rodri didn't play. Everyone knows that. It's as simple as that. There was another one as well yesterday. Like, it was Guardiola's 300th game, and he's like 19 managers or something to do 300 games in the Premier League. But they were like, six of the last seven have lost on this milestone. So people are like, oh, you know, it's a bad omen. But it's like, well, he's a good manager of a good team. Like, you'd imagine there's probably a lot of the other 300 clubbers. I don't know, like Pulis, Bruce, Hughes, who, whether they're good managers or they're not going to be in teams that are winning all the time, are they? And the one manager who did win his 300th appearance out of that seven was Klopp. So it's like, well, there you go. Like, it's just a good manager with a good team. Like, those kind of statty things are, yeah. Some are more useful than others.
That's the end of this free version of Let Me Talk. Remember, this is the final edition of Let Me Talk that will be available for free. So the only way to listen after today will be to sign up as a member. If you do, the shows are longer and they don't have any ads. Sam, what's in the post-Nottingham Forest show for the members?
Yeah, Bernardo's recent form and why we think he stayed on the pitch. Guardiola's performance. Akanji and Ake, we did a bit of a dissection of Wood's missed chances and their roles in it, but also how good they've been overall this season, particularly yesterday. De Bruyne's assists and his future, and Ortega's future as well. And the big question, how many points has he been worth to City?
Yeah, that's all for members. If you want to sign up, then head over to lmtpod.com for details. When you're there, just click on the button for longer ad-free episodes and follow the steps there. That'll be the only way to listen to all of our future shows, and we've made it as cheap as we possibly can. It's £2 a month or £20 for the whole year, essentially 2 months free. Head over to lmtpod.com to sign up.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.